Ron Van Dam hopes that his show will tickle your fancy. We suggest covering your fancy with both hands. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am indeed Ron Van Dam. Thank you so much for being here. You really are nice. You're nice. If you enjoy the show, you're very nice. Thank you. We really love nice people. We love people that compliment us. That's how we judge people, by how nice they are to us. Have you noticed that? Well, of course. Why not? If someone gives you a compliment, you know, you're looking really good today, Ron. You're a very, very handsome man. My response is, you know, you're a good person. And you're right. And you're very, very nice. Yeah, that guy, he argued with me. He keeps arguing with me. What an asshole. See, we judge people by how nice they are to us. So be nice to everybody. You can't go wrong. People will love you. People will want to be around you if you're nice to them all the time. They won't want to be around you if you smell like fish. Heard a story on the news last night. Some guy has developed a horrible bacterial thing in his stomach and is really very, very sick because he ate oysters that apparently were laced with oyster bad stuff, bacteria and that kind of thing. And my, you know what I decide at that point? I'm not going to be eating any kind of raw meat anymore. No raw seafood, nothing that was once alive with a face, certainly. But no, not raw seafood. Sushi? Give me a break. What are you doing? Raw fish rolled up in rice? Does the rice make it okay? I mean, come on. I never liked sushi. Oh, no. No. I don't want to say anything bad about sushi because sushi can kill me. But sushi is just, what is the deal with that? Let's take some raw fish straight out of the ocean and roll it up in rice and put it in people's mouths. Don't do that. If you can't cook it, don't eat it. I'll have a California roll, which is kind of wimpy. You know, that's cooked stuff rolled in rice, and then, you know, they chill it so you don't know that it was cooked. You know, a little bit of salmon, but it's already cooked. That's okay. But no, but you know, California roll is basically vegetables rolled in rice. I mean, all right, that's not good. But raw fish, or look what I found in my boat, a piece of fish flesh. Let's roll it up in some rice and eat it. No, don't do that. Oysters and clams that come directly out of the ocean, where there's a lot of crap in there. I won't even stand on the beach because I think seaweed's going to wrap around my legs and pull me back into it. There's some disgusting stuff in there. I wouldn't just pull out some living kind of oyster or clam and put it in my mouth and swallow it. Ugh. I happen to like oysters, but now I will not eat them anymore raw because of the story I heard about the guy who, you know, I guess that can happen. You can get a bad oyster, a bad clam, a bad piece of fish that's not cooked, and you can be in a lot of trouble. So no, no more of that for me. I'm just, I remember going to a sushi restaurant. They have, in a sushi restaurant, they have the sushi preparers. I don't know, a sous chef? What do they call those sushi people? The sushi people is what they call them. They stand behind a counter like they're at Subway or something. And they roll all kinds of shit inside of rice. So anyway, so they're standing behind the counter, and they get an order for some kind of sushi, and they open up a wrapped in saran wrap in a little metal tray. They open up the saran wrap and they take out the raw pieces of fish and roll it in rice no, I'm sorry. For Ron, no. To me, that is not sufficient storage of raw stuff. It's a bad idea to have the sushi people put the thing together in front of everybody's eyes. And they also, in front of the little counter area, they have little chairs, little stools. So you can sit there and watch them open up the saran wrap. It's just like, oh, no, thank you. It's just me. I'm not downing the profession or the whole cuisine or anything like that. I just can't do it. I just can't do that. Okay. How you doing? Welcome to the program. Oh, my God. Welcome to the program. How are you? Good to see you, man. You're looking good today. See, I'm being nice to you so that you listen to the show all the time. I'm just being nice. And I mean it, though. Yeah, right. I was watching a television commercial yesterday, which I tend to do a lot. If you watch television, you're going to have to watch television commercials every once in a while, unless you stream something. I still don't understand what that means. Every time someone says, hey, Ron, this thing's on streaming. It's streaming on Netflix. It's stream. What does that mean? It's playing on it. It's not streaming on it. No, Ron, that's called a stream. No, a stream is a little brook and salmon go up the wrong way. That's what a stream is. A stream is where people stand in it. They don't stream something. Anyway. So I'm watching television and their commercials, and in the commercial, it's for Clorox. I'll mention a brand name. I don't care. It's for Clorox. It's a spray bottle. You spray the Clorox stuff on things, and it kills 99.9% of germs. And I'm thinking, and it's not just Clorox. It's all these highfalutin cleaners. They kill germs. They kill 99.9% of germs. Here's the obvious comment. You couldn't kill 100%, could you? Not even 99%. It kills 99.9. Kills all germs? No. There's 0.1% of germs that it doesn't kill. Can you name them? No. It's just, how did you come up with that number? We have a lot of germs here. We're going to test the Clorox. Let's spray it on this germ here. Killed that one. Killed that one. Killed 100 germs. It almost killed all 100 germs except for a small part of that germ. How do you do that? Is that a real number? Is that a real number? Kills 99.9% of germs. Wow. Not all of them. Not there's There's one little bastard that we can't kill. It's not even a, it's just a part of the bastard. Hey, the bottle didn't kill the germs. I got sick. Yeah, because we didn't say 100%. We said 99.9. What? What? How do they get away with that? How do they get away with that? Are you sure? I'm sure 99.9%. So you're not entirely sure. Yeah, there's a tiny little bit that I probably would say no, doesn't cover it. Look, I'll take my chances, I suppose, with 99.9%, but I got to tell you, I don't quite trust your numbers here. That's a little weird for you to say. Is it safe? Oh, 99.9% safe. Well, that's worth taking a chance. Yeah, but no, I got to do 100. I'm sorry. It's too important. It's crazy, man. I laugh at things like that. I laugh at that stuff. I laugh at Clorox bottles because it says 99%. 99.9%. I've talked about this before. I also laugh when I get gas at the gas station, where on the pump sign, it says that gas per gallon is $3.49.9. It's not $3.50. It's not $3.49. It's $3.49.9%. I just laugh. People see me pumping gas hysterically, and they say, "Hey, tall man, what are you laughing at? Look at the price. Look at the price. Look at that. Look at that." It's so stupid. It's so stupid. But we see gas prices every day. They're on big signs over gas stations. They're huge neon signs. And I just laugh. I think, well, this is an incredibly weird society that I live within. 99.9%. Give me a break of breaks. You got to be kidding me. We put up with some strange stuff all the time, don't we? As I said on a previous program, meteorologists, weathermen, weather ladies, whatever you want to call them, they no longer say it's going to rain tomorrow. They say there's a chance of rain. There's also a chance that you're going to be wrong. No, not if I say there's just a chance. I said there was a chance, and it rained. I was right. But it didn't rain. I said there was a chance of rain, but the chance didn't mean that it was going to rain. There was a chance, and it didn't rain, so I'm still right. Oh, wow. You're not saying anything, are you? There's a chance I'm not. It's crazy, man. And now they're putting out percentages. I'm 99.9% sure it's going to rain tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, it doesn't rain. Well, that 0.1% won out on that one. I was not wrong. I gave you a percentage. You didn't. You didn't. You were wrong. Did you ever hear a weather person admit that they were wrong? I said it was going to rain, and it didn't rain, and I'm going to quit my job. I'm shamed. I was wrong. I greatly apologize. Some of you canceled your plans because I said it was going to rain. I've been sued in civil court accordingly because people lost money by canceling jobs because they expected it was going to rain, but it didn't because I told them it was going to rain. So I've been fired. I'm going to be working at McDonald's. Oh, poor McDonald's. That's the place everybody mentions when they can't get a job elsewhere. Yeah, I got fired from my job. All I could do was get a job at McDonald's. That's too bad. A lot of people at McDonald's, managers at McDonald's make more than you do. I don't know how much you make, but I know they make more than you do. They make a lot of money. The newer joke is, I'm working part-time at McDonald's. Now it's, I'm working part-time at Walmart. See, that's the same thing now. Back in the 50s and 60s, you'd be working at a soda shop. You don't know what a soda shop is, millennials. It was a shop and it served ice cream and soda. Ice cream sodas. They don't have that anymore. They really don't. Friendly's did that for a long time. By the way, bad name for that restaurant chain. I've been into Friendly's many times in my life. Friendly, not so much. They're no more friendly than they are at any other place. They're not that friendly. I'll tell you where they're annoyingly friendly. There's a store chain near me called Five Below. I thought it was that they sold thermostats and air conditioning units. But it's $5 or below. It's, one of those cheap places. Nice store. It's fun to walk around and see what you can get for $5 or less. It's interesting because originally we had dollar stores. And then this chain came up, Five Below, and said, no, that's a little too cheap for us. We'll do $5 stores, which is Five Below. So I go in there. As soon as you, I don't know if they do this where your Five Below is or if you even know what I'm talking about and you don't have a store like that. If you walk into the store, they are taught and instructed as soon as somebody walks through that door, the employee must turn around and shout at the door, at the person coming in the door, welcome to Five Below. Yeah, and I feel like yelling back, you don't have to say that. You don't have to welcome me into your store. It's just so unnecessary. It's interesting how different parts of the country have different stores. I guess there's a chain of supermarkets, not where I live. I live in the Northeast. I think in the South or in the West or something. I really don't know. Part of the country. There's a supermarket chain called Piggly Wiggly. I think I've got that right from memory. I don't understand how you name a store that. Is there a Mr. and Mrs. Piggly Wiggly? Is it named after them? I don't think so. What is the deal with that? Why? How did you get that name? Piggly Wiggly? What is this? What are we living in a fairy tale here? I could never shop in a Piggly Wiggly. I couldn't even walk into the premises. Welcome to Piggly Wiggly. Ooh, I'm leaving. That sounds bad. Sounds bad. Sounds a little moronic and juvenile, to be honest with you. I like the stores that have real sounding, hard, very distinct names, like Dick's Sporting Goods. Don't fuck around with that. You want sporting goods? Get your dick in here and buy something then. Whoa, okay. That is demonstrative. Whew. Piggly Wiggly? Not so much. Dicks? Yeah. All right. Anyway. First of all, I apologize. And secondly, I don't even really know what I'm talking about. Okay, I have an interesting guest coming up momentarily. But before we do that, this short commercial break for everybody who wants to buy something.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
Piggy parts. I want piggy parts.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved piggy part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's Preserve Piggy Parts.
Good morning, Ron.
Hello, Dr. Ken. How are you today?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Dr. Ken Duckworth joins us now. He's a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and he's appeared on many television programs as an expert in the field of mental illness and why we do the things that we do and what to do about them. What is NAMI?
NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And Ron, this is a group that is the largest gathering of people who live with mental health conditions and people who love them. There are 700 of these groups across the country, and they run free support, education programs, and they fight for things like better insurance coverage for mental health conditions.
Interesting. How did you get involved in this?
Ron, my dad had really bad bipolar disorder and was a loving and delightful guy. Mm-hmm. And I was not a science kid. In fact, I was terrible at calculus. I only got into the medical schools that did not require calculus, Ron. So I was like a history kid. I liked baseball and history, and I still do. But I became a psychiatrist to help my dad. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to figure out what could help people. He was a loving and good man with a very bad illness. Right. So I've spent my life trying to understand what actually helps people. So the book I wrote is a practical book. I interviewed real people, Ron, who use their names and say where they're from, to reduce the isolation and shame that so commonly travels with mental health, mental illness, and addiction. And so, you know, they say their names, say where they're from, and describe what helped them, what helped their families. So this is the book I always wanted to see in a bookstore. Mm-hmm. I could have used it. My own family could have used it, Ron. Right. After a while, you go to the bookstore looking for the book, and you break down and say, I better write this book.
Yeah, pretty cool. It's also good for the author.
It has been healing for me.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to see kind of the shame and isolation that has caused so much heartache. And frankly, it's killed a lot of people, Ron.
Really?
Suicide and overdose deaths. Yeah. And I thought, why aren't real people discussing what helped them? And I had intuited through hanging out at NAMI that people were ready to talk about it and use their names. And I'd give them a week. I'd say, you know, I'm going to write this book. You can be part of it if you want. Think about it. Talk to your spouse or your kids.
Right.
Once there's 50,000 of these, it's hard to say, you know, your name's going to be in the book, and it's going to get out there if I have anything to say about it.
Well, the broad term mental illness, I don't know anybody who doesn't fall under the broad term category, to be honest with you. In fact, if someone said to me, I'm totally mentally completely fit, I'd say, well, then you're the abnormal one. Because these days, it seems like we've all got these concerns that might put us into that category. Of course, there are extremes, such as what you talked about with your father, but that broad category is becoming more prevalent, isn't it?
I think it is becoming more prevalent. I think COVID was an opportunity. In spite of all the heartache, sadness, isolation, and grief, I want to acknowledge COVID's been a disaster for so many people.
Of course.
Mental health, in my opinion, Ron, became a we phenomenon, not a you or a they phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
This is when I thought, you know, I could write this book, and there's an opportunity now because I thought there would be a market for it because so many people have gotten interested in mental health. So I think you're absolutely right. There's been a transformation in how our society thinks about this.
That's the other 50% of it. Perhaps it was always there, but we weren't talking about it. It was something you don't really talk about because that's a forbidden subject.
We're making a dent, Ron, and you having me on your show, I want to thank you for having me.
Mm.
So my dad got transferred. He was a Chef Boyardee salesman. We lived in Philadelphia.
Oh, cool.
And he got moved to Michigan when I was in second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him being carried away by the police while he was hallucinating and screaming. And then we're in a U-Haul driving to Michigan.
Wow.
And I'm like a second grade kid, and I'm like, I think moving to Michigan has something to do with that thing that happened.
Yeah.
But nobody talked about it.
Correct.
Again, shame and isolation are kind of core problems.
Yeah.
Those are problems I hope to address by having real people with real names
mm-hmm.
from Boston, you know, from Cambridge, from Michigan, from California,
from
Hawaii.
Yeah, sure.
38 different states, Ron. Mm-hmm. Ages 16 to 100. One woman said she was old as dirt. So she might be over 100 or she might be in her 80s or 90s. But she said she was up there.
I put some new dirt on my lawn because it's browned out. So there's new dirt, too.
There's also new dirt. You make an excellent one. So I think the scientists would say, Ron, that was an indeterminate answer. You can't say what the heck that was.
Right. Okay. Is the book available at this point?
You Are Not Alone is the name of the book. Mm-hmm. It was released 2 days ago. All the royalties from this book are donated to this mission. So when you're buying the book, you might pick up something to help you or somebody in your family or a friend and get a new perspective on it. And also you'll be contributing to this idea that mental health is health.
Right.
There's no real reason to be profoundly ashamed and isolated when it comes to the most common sources of suffering and disability in America, which is mental illness.
Yeah, I think we've turned the corner because mental illness is now covered by most medical insurance and is recognized as being a physical disorder. And that's it's nice that we've turned that corner. That was only recently, too.
We've gotten a couple first downs, Ron. You know, we've made some real progress, but the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, was one of the organizations fighting for insurance coverage. Like, how on earth could you have an illness that you could only go into the hospital twice a year that was paid for insurance, but if you had another more legitimate illness, like diabetes, you could go in 10 times.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the first level of, are you kidding me, discrimination, like the brain isn't part of the body.
Right.
We still have some challenges, though, because it's hard to find a therapist that will take your insurance sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So the payments may still not be quite where they need them to be.
Yeah.
But no cardiologist says, I only accept private fees.
Correct.
They take their insurance. So we have more work to do, Ron, but I think you're absolutely right. We have made some advances, and you having me on your show is just another example. You know, it's okay to talk about it. These are common sources of heartache and suffering.
Great.
And people do get better. And if you read the book, you'll learn all about people who've been through very hard times. I mean, I'm talking overdoses and suicide attempts and being told they would never get better, and now they're doing well.
Also, you got to be careful what you're being prescribed. Sometimes that can put you into a worse situation. So it takes
medicines are simply tools, and they all have side effects. There's no magic bullets in the mental health space. You have to find the combination of love or psychotherapy or a support group or medication that works for you. There's an art to this.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
Perfect. You Are Not Alone is a, wow, what a wonderful title. That's like says it all. So good.
It gets right to the core of my experience as an 8-year-old boy. We're driving to Michigan. I still love college football, polite driving, and public education as a result of my years in Michigan. But we're driving to Michigan. I'm in the back of the car, and I thought to myself, I am in this family, and we love each other, and I am so alone. Because I think nobody can take this on. Nobody has the courage to have this discussion. So I want to thank you, Ron, for having me and for, you know, sharing an interest in what I consider a critical problem that we are at a tipping point on. I really believe this is the moment that we can actually have these true discussions.
Absolutely. Well, that title just reminds me. You know, once you find out that other people are in the same boat you are, it takes a lot of burden off your shoulders and off your head. That's step one. The other thing is, I lived in New York City for decades before I moved to the Boston area, and you've got 8 million people. You're in buildings with 1,000 other people, and yet you can feel incredibly alone. And that's just weird, but true.
Okay. That is also true. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah. Dr. Ken Duckworth, fascinating. Get the book. Good deal. Thank you so much for your time today.
I really appreciate it, Ron. Take good care.
Thank you. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you to my guest. And thank you to you. You are so nice. You are nice. You are so, I'm 99.9% sure that you're very nice. Join me next time, next weekday that rolls around. I'll be here. How about you? But until that time arrives, take care of yourself. I wish you peace. We'll be right back.